Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
All right, everybody, let's get at it. It's 6 minutes past 6 o'clock. Welcome to Political Coffee, politics with your coffee. It's all about Kate, folks. Where is she? What's she been doing? Actually, she has been completely out of sight for some time now, apparently self-isolating. In fact, there's a story in the Oregon Catalyst about where is our governor? The media is asking, where is our governor? And there's a great picture of the state capitol with Governor Kate kind of peering over the top of it, just kind of like she's kind of hiding. Channel 6 noted last week, it's been 4 days since the media had a chance to ask Kate Brown questions. And then others, of course, the East Oregonian wanting to state officials don't trust the data that they've been providing about Oregon's hospital's capacity to handle COVID-19 and have stopped providing the information. Now, that was last week. Well, apparently Kate has responded. Apparently over the weekend, the state decided, oops, we sort of screwed up there. We have data issues, as noted in an OregonWatchdog.com article today that has to deal with the lawmakers not trusting. There's a great quote by Senator Brian Boquist, who is a member of the Coronavirus Task Force, and sent a scathing letter to everybody involved, including the Oregon Health Authority, about the damage they're doing to rural hospitals. And I want to talk with you about that today. It is profound, and it is going to impact your life. It already probably is. You see, the big hospitals in Portland, you know, Kate's base, they're fine. They're generally okay. But the little rural hospitals, some of which are dealing with some of the cases, have had to lay off people. Not all of them, not all rural hospitals have, but many have. But they've had to deal with the shortfall of what? Income. Why? Because Kate shut down all elective surgeries. Now, the supposed model, which is causing us all of these problems, frankly, across the country, this model from the University of Washington has been roundly dissed because it is horribly inaccurate. And they're backpedaling as fast as they possibly can right now. Well, that model now says we can expect a peak in Oregon in about 2 weeks. So what does Kate do? Over the weekend, after that story that we brought to you, it was based on the tweet by Representative Bill Post, no stranger to this radio station or the Mid-Valley area here. But Representative Bill Post talked about the Hinckley, Professor Hinckley, right? The Hinckley report, which I have up on the screen. Why is Oregon still in lockdown? And it was based on the Oregon Health Authority's data, which showed hospitalizations had been decreasing. Now, this is as of Saturday last week, right? So he's using, Professor Hinckley, the data from Oregon Health Authority from last week. Magically, over the weekend, that data changes, which just prompted Senator Boquist's letter and all of these stories saying, people, you can't trust OHA's data, the government's data. Why? Because it's all political, folks. That's why. Kate doesn't like being ever criticized. Folks, you have to know this woman, and believe me, I do. You have to understand how she thinks. She thinks She has all the answers. She thinks her regressive totalitarian Marxist ideas, and believe me, this woman thinks this way. Doesn't matter what she says in public, folks. She doesn't mean it. Look at what she's done all of her life. Look at the things and the causes that are regressive, totalitarian, Marxist in nature that she has continued to exhibit in her public policy. It's do as I say, not as I do, right? Yeah, that's Kate, folks. Doesn't matter what she says because it is all about Kate. Where is she? Well, yesterday, I think after being stung by all of the criticism from the newspapers saying, hey, where's the governor? After being criticized and after seeing this, oh, I can guarantee you she got on the phone the moment this story broke about Professor Hinckley saying, why is Oregon still in lockdown? Using OHA's data, I can guarantee you somebody in her staff, if not her herself, was on the phone to the director of the OHA and say, what in the blankety blank are you doing to me? Because that's how Kate thinks, folks. That's how she operates. If you believe me, this woman has a legendary vengeful temper. You don't know, folks. She hides it very well, and the media is typically covered for her. But the fact that she was being criticized by the media that normally covers for her because she wouldn't provide access tells you something, doesn't it? So again, magically, what happens over the weekend? All of a sudden, OHA updates their data. And guess what? According to the Oregonian article by the uber-liberal reporter, Rob Davis, shows that, suddenly hospitalization data, it was not being reported correctly. It doubled over the weekend. Whoa. Really? Did it? Do you trust anything coming out of the state of Oregon anymore, knowing why it is being put forward? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. And we'll go to the phones in a moment. But I'm quite serious. The story in the Oregonian today is coronavirus in Oregon. Officials work to prevent the outbreak amongst the homeless population now. Well, they're talking about, Kate's talking about releasing prisoners early. Does she have the constitutional authority to do that? Does she? Again, you know, what we talked about yesterday, and thanks, Rosalie, for the great link to the article yesterday about the real danger of the virus is tyranny that results from it. Okay. I get it. And it's right on the mark. Can you trust what the state of Oregon's telling you? They have been wildly inaccurate. And now they're apparently trying to convince us all that, no, they were accurate all along. They just had some data issues. Yeah, Kate doesn't like being criticized. Yeah, she doesn't like anybody looking bad, making her look bad. I don't think Patrick Allen, the OHA's director, is long for his job because he's made her look really bad here. Now, here's the reality. Because of that, yesterday, there was a phone call. It was kind of a telephone town hall put on by Kate Brown and Ellen Rosenblum. Someone that I know was on that call. Now, I have not seen yet anywhere in any news story in Oregon yet today so far. Maybe if I have missed it, please let me know, because I'd like to see it. Nowhere have I seen a story about this teleconference call. And the person that listened to it, who called me yesterday after it was over, said it was obvious that it was highly scripted. And in fact, they referenced Representative Bill Post, not by name, But the last caller who was allowed to ask a question, and these things are, these telephone town halls, folks, are highly scripted and they are very tightly controlled. I know because I've done them. Okay? Well, the last question was obliquely about Representative Bill Post and his tweet about the Hinckley Report. They mentioned the Hinckley Report. And the question was akin to, I don't have it actual in verbiage, because I'm getting it secondhand here from the person who was listening. But the question is this, is this Hinckley Report is misinformation about your data. And the question was, and this is why it's so highly scripted, how do we stop that information, which is highly inaccurate, from getting out there? And guess what Ellen Rosenblum said? She said, well, there's a hotline where you can report waste, fraud, abuse, misinformation, I believe is the word that was used. So now we're going to infringe on people's rights to look at the state's data that was put out and write a column about it? We're going to report that as misinformation? And the full force of the Oregon Department of Justice comes against you? Really? You know, there is a U.S. Constitution. Ellen Rosenblum.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. Maybe 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Yes, indeed. Our wonderful governor is...
Here's a headline for you. Hospitals not yet overwhelmed by the rush of virus patients.
I found out.
It's a Portland Tribune story. It's that Dick
yesterday,
Hughes, Salem area, the
governor's
editor of
her advisory
Statesman Journal for a long time. He represents the Capitol Bureau. The state resumed sharing COVID-19 hospitalization data after
What's going on
by quote.
Did you hear anything about
unquote,
that meeting
issues.
Going on, Jeff?
No. No.
Do you know who in the heck is on that advisory committee?
After the Hinckley report comes out, no,
exposing
the state's own data. In fact,
and according to open
which are the real
laws,
measure of the effectiveness of any kind of a
is
pandemic disease,
to
right?
Allow public
that data
to
showed that
know
it was
about
declining.
These meetings
Pop,
and be able
for COVID-19
to either
were in
listen
fact
to them. Of course, we can't go to them right now,
Kate,
but she should be providing accessibility to us because
you
we're under lockdown
around, folks,
to what's going on. So we can contact these people and give our opinions on what should be done, et cetera, et cetera. I'm really mad and upset about this, yeah.
It's
in your capacity, I think you should expose this. And we need more transparency on what's going on.
And the people
considering
that she represents,
epidemic. It's a travesty. And Kate needs to be exposed for the unprofessional way she is handling the situation.
Making you look
and like
because
they
they're releasing data. Says you didn't really need to even do what you did. You didn't
where
need
the
to restore Oregon's economy,
okay?
Great. Why are you locking us down? Because it ain't that bad. Heck, you just sent 140 ventilators that you requested from the federal stockpile. You just sent them to New York. But yet, magically, on Monday, the Oregon Health Authority says, oh, oops, we were wrong. Sorry. There's actually twice as many people that have been hospitalized because of COVID-19 or quote unquote suspected symptoms, including 82 patients who are on ventilators. Wait a second. I thought we needed ventilators. So, by the way, Dick, if you're listening, why didn't you write something about that? 82 patients are on ventilators. And the governor sends 140 ventilators out of this state? And we haven't reached the peak yet, according to the highly reliable University of Washington study that Kate has been basing her decisions on. I'm surprised Dick even did this. But, Dick, you know, if you're listening, why don't you ask that question? Maybe why don't you follow up on Art's point of contention? Were you on the call with the governor yesterday? If so, maybe you ought to write something about it, Dick. Were you on the call? Were you aware of the governor's advisory group meeting on Monday that Art referred to? Do you know what they talked about? I'm just curious, Dick. At any rate, folks, he does write that these numbers are more than double what OHA reported last week. Now, his point is that Oregon hospitals have a lot of capacity, and we do. And yet we are destroying the rural hospitals of this state, which is another story out there. This is from the Malheur Enterprise. This is based from the Lund report. Lawmakers blast Oregon Health Authority over rural hospitals in free fall. Why? Because of Kate's lockdown order that says you can't do elective surgeries. My own father needs to have an MRI. He fell and he dinged up his shoulder. He's probably got a torn rotator cuff. Guess what? He can't get it. It was canceled because of Kate's order. Thank you, Kate. Rural hospitals are hurting, and that impacts you. Now, the big hospitals are getting by just fine. But the small rural hospitals, many of them don't have cash reserves. And as this story notes, many of them are laying off personnel or cutting their hours to deal with the loss of being able to have elective surgery. Out of the 37 state hospitals, or rather rural hospitals, 82 of them were losing money prior to Kate saying, you can't do elective surgeries. Kate, when are you going to wake up and start caring about somebody other than your union base in Portland? Don't hold your breath, folks. So also, do something for yourself. I'm quite serious, to fight all of these viruses and bacterial infections, things that come along. You know, try some CBD, and you should try it from pro-bioscience.com. It's a great local company, pro-bioscience.com. I use their products. They have CBD-infused hand sanitizers right now. And you know what? If you go to their website, pro-bioscience.com, and you order online, use the code SPRING, the word SPRING. Put that in the checkout code, and you get a 15% discount. Pro-bioscience.com. Boost your immune system. Even have stuff for your pets. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Or send me an email. Let me know what you think. Where's Kate? Why has she been hiding? How come you haven't seen anything about this conference call, this telephone town hall she had yesterday? Whereby, again, I'm getting it secondhand from someone who was actually listening, who called me up afterwards and said that Kate made it very clear that there is no cure. She used the word, there is no vaccine, we know that, currently against COVID-19, but there's also no cure. That's a lie. We know there is effective treatment, which, frankly, is a cure. It's called hydroxychloroquine, and it is working all over the world. But Kate's pharmacy board decided to restrict it. You can't get it unless you have COVID-19 and you're in a hospital. It's the Oregon way.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 24 minutes till the top of the hour. In a moment, we're going to chat with Scott Sword, who is a former neighbor of mine who's running for my old House seat for the Oregon Legislature in the House of Representatives. You know, if you're going to buy something from Amazon and you expect Amazon to actually deliver it to you in the month of June, don't. Because they just announced that they're suspending the Amazon delivery service in June. Now, why so late? I mean, I thought the coronavirus business is supposed to run its course now. We're supposed to be peaking here, right? Oh, there's some politics involved here. Could it be anything having to do with Donald Trump yesterday? By the way, if you missed his press conference, it was a doozy yesterday. He was asked a question about, well, should there be money for the post office in there? You know, for their debt. And he went off on the fact that the post office operates at a loss. Why? Because they don't charge the delivery. The internet companies, he said. He didn't mention Amazon, but, you know, he's got this beef with Bezos, right? Because Bezos' Washington Post is the fake news. Anyway, yeah, it's kind of interesting that immediately the next day, Amazon says, we're going to pause our delivery service in June. Why so far out? I mean, we're going to be opened up for business by then, or don't you think we should be? Want to remind you folks that if you want to make somebody feel special during this time where a lot of people are feeling unspecial and kind of unsettled, buy a limousine ride. Diamond Royalty Rides, great, great company right here in the Mid-Valley, right here in Salem. Surprisingly affordable. Check them out online. You want to make somebody feel special, maybe an anniversary, maybe like a daughter's birthday or a coming out party or something like that. Check it out, DiamondRoyaltyRides.com. Make somebody feel special with a royalty ride, DiamondRoyaltyRides.com. Let's go to Scott Sword, who joins us. Scott is Republican running in a crowded field for the nomination to my old House seat. Scott, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, brother. How's things down there in Salem? It's sure beautiful up here in your old neighborhood.
Yeah, I know. I'm down in the Halsey area on the farm, and, you know, I got a little bit of ground fog, but it's going to be a beautiful morning, a nice warm day. So you're out running. You were out pressing the flesh and so forth. What's campaigning like now that we're all in a lockdown?
Oh, traditional campaigning during this lockdown has just been thrown out the window. The whole kissing babies and shaking hands and meeting and greeting with people is prohibited, and for a good reason. So now it's all about social media, mailing, phone calls, calling into radio programs like yours. And it's entirely different. It really is. You know, it's all about personal relationships in a House seat district like ours. And of course, ours is really rural. So it's, you know, to get around and talk to everybody takes a little bit of effort, but that's something that I really enjoy doing.
So you are a former mayor of Vernonia, and you moved down into, you are my neighbor out in the Waldo Hills area, and you're a log truck owner, and you've been in the logging business a long time and part of the timber unity movement and phenomenon. So why did you decide to get back into politics after having been out for so long?
Well, I was out for I haven't been back. I was a city councilman in Silverton and moved out to your area a little over 20 years ago. I've been living in Marion County for about a little over 30 years. And for the last 20 years, I've been raising children and growing a business and, you know, just kind of working hard to fulfill the American dream. And we've been employing quite a few people over the years, and I really enjoyed that. But lately, a couple of years ago, I kind of pulled back a bit and passed the business off to the son. I'm still a part owner of the business. And being recently semi-retired, I thought, you know, and I watched last summer, the Timber Unity Bunch started up. And I've been driving and riding back and forth to work for 4 years with these great blue-collar people. And, you know, they've talked about their weekends and their hunting and their family and their vacations, but they never once talked about politics. This last summer, these great people were talking about politics for the first time ever I ever saw. So I thought I'd take some of my newly found time, my lifetime of experiences, and was going to see if I could take that experience to the Capitol and represent these people in HD 17, and that's where I'm there. I love rural Oregon, and we need somebody with experience in business, a lifetime of leadership in Oregon, and I'm going to go there to help.
So you've been out and about prior to, obviously, the lockdown. In that time, Scott, what, you know, as you're talking to people, you know, pressing the flesh, doing the things you got to do as a candidate, you know, what were you hearing from people that mostly concerned them that they wanted you to do if you got to the state house?
First and foremost was just stop the onslaught of increased fees and taxes. Our rural neighbors and businesses are just being burdened to death with these taxes. It's getting tougher and tougher to live in Oregon. It's getting tougher and tougher to run a business in Oregon. So we mostly it's about fees and taxes. The corporate activity tax is a big hit on our local economy, mills,
yes,
farmers, manufacturing.
Yep.
And that escalating tax is just going to be brutal. It's, you know, I pay the tax. I got the form right here on my desk. And so that cap and trade, another big issue for Timber Unity, which, by the way, as all of the six candidates in HD 17, Timber Unity chose me to and endorsed my campaign and me. And I'm really happy to get your endorsement too there, Jeff. So it's the cap and trade tax, another brutal tax that just nobody seems to understand why. Sure, we have climates, you know, the climate's changing, it always does, but we have these great carbon eating machines out in our forests here. And if we just grew more trees and encapsulated more carbon in the buildings that we have, we could fix this problem.
Fair enough. Those are logical things. Those are proven things, you know, like carbon sequestration. How would you think that you could take that idea of carbon sequestration? It's talked about a lot in the Capitol. How do you think you can actually get it considered as part of the quote-unquote cap-and-trade idea that Kate Brown is so dedicated to ramming down our throats? How do you think you can work with Democrats if you're not in control? How can you convince them, persuade them, this is a reasonable idea to count our new trees that get planted under Oregon law after we log something, private or public, doesn't matter? How do you get them to say, yeah, we agree that the crops in the fields, the trees growing, especially the new trees, are sucking up a lot of the carbon and should be part of carbon sequestration? Because right now it isn't.
Well, Jeff, I spent a lot of time in the Capitol during the last major session and the short session talking with legislators and testifying on this issue, trying to get them to understand, along with Timber Unity and other farmers and rural bunches across the state, that taxing something doesn't make it go away. It's let's take our sin taxes, alcohol, tobacco, and now marijuana. We're taxing that in hopes of, you know, trying to get people to change their behavior. It hasn't happened. Liquor and tobacco sales are still about where they have been on historical averages across the time. So the approach to tax behavior to change it just doesn't seem to work very well, especially in this state. And so we have to just offer other solutions, such as, like you say, carbon sequestration, growing trees. Let's, you know, maybe set out some set-aside boundaries on state forest areas that where we can continue to grow those trees and manage them properly, and watch the carbon get sucked up out of the air and put into those beautiful green limbs is something that we all should look forward to.
So, folks, we're talking with Scott Sword. He is one of the six Republican candidates in the Republican primary for my old House seat here in House District 17. By the way, Scott, you have a website? Facebook page?
I do. You can find me on Facebook as Scott Sword for State Rep. My website is www.scottsword2020.com. You can find all my positions and my pledge to the HC 17 people and voters. And I really appreciate it if everybody would jump on and take a look.
And how do you spell your last name?
Sword, like a big knife. You know, if you want your taxes cut, and if you want your property and your civil rights defended, can you imagine anything better than having a sword on your side to do that?
Indeed. So question for you. This is the question I ask every candidate on the Republican side anyway, is this. If you had been elected and you were serving in this last legislative session that just concluded in February, would you have walked out with everybody else?
I would have, Jeff. I watched hearing after hearing, vote after vote for the other side. The supermajority just would not listen to reason. And there were some good compromise votes and amendments put into the bills, and they just would not. I mean, they were so entrenched. So, you know, it's in the Constitution. It's available to use. It's there for a purpose. I would have walked. I would have done that and stood with my Republican friends.
And very quickly, if you get elected and this issue comes up again and the Republicans have to walk, will you walk?
I sure hope we don't have to, Jeff, but if it comes down to what we saw the last two sessions, I absolutely would.
Scott Sword, ladies and gentlemen, check him out on Facebook and his website. Scott, thanks for joining us today. Good luck out there in your social distancing campaigning.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Have a good day.
That's Scott Sword, folks. We'll be back.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 10 minutes till the top of the hour. Look, listen to this. This is a quote from the sharply worded letter, as it is termed, to the Oregon Health Authority from State Senator Brian Boquist. You know, you've heard him on the show many times. Good friend of mine. Listen to this. Quote, OHA and the governor have been told for 2 weeks rural providers, clinics, and hospitals are in a complete free fall with massive layoffs operating at half or less of their capacity. And what are they doing about it? Nothing. Some rural hospitals have had a 60% drop in revenue, folks. Now, how do you reconcile that? The article, by the way, notes that large hospital systems, and I'm quoting, in the Portland area appear to be in a better position to weather this revenue loss than their rural counterparts, which often don't have deep pockets. Oregon Health Science University has promised to pay through the end of June to employees who've been sent home, including all of their research staff. You know how much money OHSU typically gets from the federal government to do research? It's typically in the $300 to $400 or better million dollar range every year. Your little rural hospital doesn't get that. And what's Kate doing about it? Nothing, folks, because she doesn't care. Oh, she'll say that she cares. Then watch what happens. Actions speak louder than words. 503-589-1220. In a moment, we'll go back to the phones. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. You know, if you want to be free from the virus, there's a lot of things you can do. social distancing, of course, is one of them. Wearing that mask, I think, is a very good idea. But what about your home? I would encourage you to think seriously about talking to the folks at Freedom Heating and Air. Check them out on the web. They're right here in Salem. Been here 40 years. FreedomHeatingAndAir.net. That's the website. Freedom Heating and Air, all one word, .net. You know, they can put in some great filtration systems, including one that I highly recommend, and that's a UV light filtration system. It kills the bacteria, folks. So UV light does. That's why they use it, have been using it. It's proven technology. Check them out. Why don't you call them? Make your home safe. FreedomHeatingAndAir.net. Let's go to the phones and go to Rebecca. Rebecca, good morning. What do you say today?
Good morning. I'm calling because there's a continual need to educate people about the Democrat Party. And the Democrat Party is a party that isn't necessarily focused on policies. The Republicans constantly think that we're discussing policies, whereas Democrats think we're discussing how evil the Republicans are. And it's been that way ever since the Civil War. He stole their property. And that's the way they look at it. They owned slaves, and we forced them to give up their slaves. And they wrote the Declaration of Causes, which is a very interesting read. The Declaration of Causes explains that the reason that they seceded from the Union is because the Republicans would not respect their right to own slaves, and that they had censored the Union with the agreement that they had the right to own slaves. And those dastardly Republicans that had just formed in 1854 were not respecting their right to own slaves.
So what is the Democrats' obsession with owning slaves have to do with what we're talking about today? I'm not getting the connection, Rebecca.
Right after the Civil War, they decided to have a campaign that the Republicans were evil. And the Democrat Party has never been about policy. The Republicans constantly think that it's about policy. But the Democrats, it's about power. And we stole their slaves and therefore removed some of their power. And that's what they're after, is power. They don't necessarily care what policy they have. And that's where they are, all over the map on policy. It shows up in their designation of Blue Dog Democrat and Yellow Dog Democrat. A lot of people think they are Blue Dog Democrat, but are actually Yellow Dog Democrat. And that's a whole explanation that I probably don't have time to go into.
No, you don't, but I appreciate you tying that in, because you're right. And this is the issue. They understand one thing and one thing only: power. Thank you, Rebecca. I appreciate you pointing that out, because it's true. You know who else thinks that way? Absolute power to impose their will? Kim Jong-un, Joseph Stalin, Chairman Mao, President Xi today. Communist folks. This is why, even though I use this, it's not part of the persuasive language I want you to use, because you won't persuade anybody. But the reality of who these people are is they are regressive, totalitarian Marxists. Kate Brown will impose her will on you no matter what. And she's not alone. Peter Courtney is less of that, but he'll still have to go along with it because his caucus demands that he does. Tina Kotek is just like Kate. She's a true believer that you and I, the little people out here, we are too stupid to figure out life on our own, and that we must have a strong central government that dictates everything in our lives. So, in your ability today to influence someone else, ask this question. If things are so bad in Oregon, why is Kate giving away ventilators? Was the shutdown of our economy truly necessary for all of this? Fortunately, one of the smart things Kate has done is allowed people like Eric Azor with Righteous Renovations to keep operating. Eric Azor is one of these great local companies, like all of our advertisers are, that needs your help. And you know what? He can still come out and remodel your bathroom, remodel your kitchen, put a new deck on your, replace the deck on your home. He can still do that because Kate hasn't shut that down. All of these advertisers, every one of them, need our allegiance and our help. So if you're thinking about doing some of this stuff anyway, why don't you call Eric Azor? A lot of satisfied customers. And you know what? You can check it all out on his website, RighteousRenovations.com. RighteousRenovations.com. There'll be more tomorrow, friends, especially on the issue of liberty. Is tyranny taking over? Back. Take a great day. Enjoy the beautiful sunshine. See you tomorrow. Casey's up next.